He may have won Indonesia's presidential election last night, but Joko Widodo now faces his toughest battle yet, forming a coalition to govern one of the world's largest and most diverse democracies. Last night, the Elections Commission confirmed that the Jakarta governor had won the closest and most bitterly fought election campaign in Indonesia's history.
This is a victory for all Indonesian people. We hope this victory will pave the way to build Indonesia to be a strong and independent economy. The Vice President and I urge everyone to return to our historic faith as a united nation, one nation, Indonesia.
Joko Widodo defeated former General Prabowo Subianto, but his opponent tried to keep the spotlight by announcing a last-minute withdrawal from a process he said was flawed. Australia's Prime Minister Tony Abbott says he's looking forward to working closely with Joko Widodo, saying the recently strained relationship between Australia and Indonesia is extraordinarily important. The director of the Centre for Indonesian Law at Melbourne University, Professor Tim Lindsay, is one of Australia's top Indonesia analysts, and he's been following the election closely. Professor Lindsay, thanks for joining us. Joko Widodo is now Indonesia's president-elect, but does the last-minute withdrawal of his opponent, Prabowo Subianto, put a question mark over his legitimacy?
I don't think it does. The election process has been remarkable for its transparency, and there's been a whole lot of parallel counts that confirm the result, Jokowi's victory by a pretty clear 6.3%. So whilst there may well be protests from the Prabowo camp, I think it's widely accepted that this is a legitimate victory.
Prabowo Subianto is making accusations of fraud, but how do you read the fact that his party leader says he won't take those to Indonesia's constitutional court?
Well, Prabowo's behaviour has become increasingly erratic, and I think we're seeing something of the true character of the man, his impulsive and aggressive nature. I think really this points to the fact that Indonesia's had a pretty narrow escape from a candidate whose ambition was to unravel the democratic reforms that have led to just this sort of direct and fairly transparent election and take them back to the authoritarian and closed systems that prevailed under his former father-in-law, Suharto.
You say that Prabowo Subianto's latest actions suggest Indonesians may have had a lucky escape from him, but a very large proportion of the population voted for him, and Joko Widodo was losing support through the last part of the election campaign. What message should the president-elect take from that?
Well, I think it's not widely understood outside Indonesia that the current president, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, is seen as a disappointment, even a failure in Indonesia, because he's regarded as dithering, as being a do-nothing president. This is one of the reasons why such an unlikely candidate as Prabowo was able to gain some traction, because he stood for action. He presented himself as a firm, decisive leader. What this means for Jokowi, however, is that he will need to get concrete results, runs on the board very quickly. If he is unable to deliver the results that people are looking for, particularly in combating corruption, in delivering better governance and providing better support for the poor in terms of education, welfare, health and so forth, then he will fall into the Yudhoyono category. And that's damaging for Indonesian democracy. Jokowi's victory really is a consolidation of Indonesia's liberal democratic process, but it doesn't guarantee it. It's up to Jokowi now to perform it, and that's going to be difficult.
It is a big step up from being governor of Jakarta, and his party doesn't have a majority in the parliament. What do you think will be the biggest challenge for him?
I think building a new coalition that will allow him to get his agenda through will be a massive challenge. Yudhoyono struggled with this in his 10 years, but he had a bigger plurality in the legislature than will Jokowi. Jokowi's party, the PDIP, only has around 20%. So Jokowi really has, between now and when he's sworn in October, to start putting together coalitions that will enable him to get his agenda through.
Do you think that he should form an alliance of some sort with his former presidential opponent's party?
I think that's going to be rather difficult, but he will certainly be able to form alliances with parties that were in his former rival's alliance.
Well, Joko Widodo has a reputation as a reformer. Some are calling him the first post-New Order president. How significant a break from the past could he represent? I mean, Yudhoyono is, of course, a former Suharto general.
It is true that Joko Widodo is the first person to become a president in Indonesia who was not already a national figure under President Suharto in the period leading up to 1998. So to that extent, he is a clean break with the the past. However, we need to remember that Indonesia has been a liberal democracy for the last 15 years. He may be a new face in that sense, but he's inheriting a system that has been established for some time and which generally functions reasonably well given the difficult circumstances.
Some of his supporters make comparisons with Barack Obama. Do you see the similarities?
Well, there's certainly the facial resemblance between Obama and Jokowi is quite uncanny. And like Obama, he's faced all sorts of smear campaigns similar to the birthers in the United States. And like Obama, he will have to try and get a reforming agenda through a reluctant legislature.
Now, of course, Indonesia is a critical relationship for Australia. During the election campaign, Joko Widodo proposed taking Australia to an international court over the asylum seeker issue if diplomacy fails. Should the Abbott government be concerned about that?
I don't think we should overstate this. We are pretty familiar in Australia with strong nationalist claims as a useful weapon in the campaign period. And Jokowi was under a great deal of pressure to match Prabowo's aggressive and assertive nationalism, particularly on issues of national sovereignty. However, he did agree with Prabowo's statement that Australia is Indonesia-phobic. He did, however, say that his preferred approach to international conflicts was dialogue, and his personal style is a very measured style, and I think that sort of style would continue in negotiations with Australia. Having said that, however, it is clearly the case that the boats issue remains a flashpoint in the relationship. Australia and Indonesia are still yet to reach an agreed protocol for dealing with people smuggling, intelligence and military cooperation. That needs to be in place before Jokowi is sworn in so that there is a platform for rebooting and renegotiating the relationship when the new president comes in. Whatever the merits of Australia's policy, it's clear that Indonesia does not like it and wishes Australia to reconsider, and that's not going to go away.
Professor Lindsay, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Eleanor.